You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
All right, soon we'll be joined by Tony Franklin, Jared Goff's offensive coordinator while at Cal. But for now, we'll go back to the phone lines, 216-578-0850. We got, who do we got, Gibbs? Laquan in Garfield Heights. Laquan, welcome.
It's Taquan, but well, hope you guys are having a good day.
Yeah, good, man.
No
Thank
problem.
You.
I just wanted to say two things. One is that I believe we should get Sterling Shepard.
I like Sterling Shepard a lot.
The second thing I wanted to say is, is it not true that whoever our coaching staff have been around quarterback-wise, they improved? Whether that's a first-round pick or an undrafted free agent. That being said, who's to say that one of our three young quarterbacks that we have, and Connor Shaw, Austin Davis, RG3, won't step up and lead the team?
I think right now, if you're looking at it, I think that there's really only one guy with a chance to do that, and that's RG3. I think we have a pretty good idea of what Austin Davis is, and I think we have a pretty good idea of what Connor Shaw is. Connor Shaw, the heart of a champion. He's got everything you want. And from an intangible standpoint, if you gave Connor Shaw Johnny Manziel's physical gifts, you would have a franchise quarterback here in Cleveland. But I don't know that he's got the gifts needed to become that guy at this level in the National Football League. I think that's the one hesitation that you got there with Connor Shaw. This team needs quarterbacks. This team needs a quarterback. And RG3 is absolutely a swing at the plate. And that's why if they do ultimately decide that the quarterback on the board at number two is not to their liking and they do move down, that's why it's understandable. You're saying we're taking a swing at the plate right now. Let's get more assets. And if we need to take another swing, we will. But if there is a guy that they feel is a surefire franchise quarterback, then that's the guy they need to go out there and get. I think it's just that simple. It's quarterback or trade back for me. There isn't one defensive player that is the guy alone. That's it.
No. Yeah. I think, you know, Jalen Ramsey could be that guy, but he's not a game wrecker. I want a game wrecker. You know, and I think Bosa and the tweener that he's kind of become since, you know, 3 months ago, he was the surefire number one going to Tennessee, you know, prior to even Laramie Tunsil being linked to Tennessee. And, you know, is he a 3-4 guy? Is he a 4-3 guy? Where's he going to fit? He's the destructor, but after a 4.86 and, you know, to what, 24 at the combine via bench press, it's not J.J. Wattish numbers, even though he's a J.J. Wattish type of player.
Yeah, and really, let's look at J.J. Watt's career, right? J.J. Watt has not won a playoff game since 2012. And he's the best defensive player in the National Football League. J.J. Watt's never been to a conference championship.
Right, but you could say, and again, to talk about J.J. Watt, that's fine, but then who would you say the second best defensive player? Would Von Miller potentially be the second best defensive player in the league? He's definitely top five.
You'd have to say that he is up there.
He's two or three. Maybe four. You know, you got to put Kuechly's probably in the top five. Von Miller's definitely. But look at the role that Von Miller has played in now that Denver has won a Super Bowl with many other pieces on the defensive side of the football.
And offense.
But the emphasis now that teams, as we've had analyst after, you know, draft guy after draft guy, referencing pass rusher and what Von Miller did and that Denver defense did to win a Super Bowl, with the absence of a franchise quarterback because of the, you know,
this year
because of the shadow of inconsistency that Brock Osweiler, even though he won them some football games, he was inconsistent. Peyton Manning, a shadow of himself. It was defense. Now, the deep defensive tackle draft that you've talked about it being finding an impact player, a 10-plus sack guy, I'd take him inside the top five. Alden sure. Smith, Von Miller. Sure. I mean, look at the impact. Those guys both went, what, 10-plus sacks their rookie year?
Right, and Von Miller has made it, what, he went to the Super Bowl in, they lost in 14.
Seattle.
They got blasted. Yeah. But that team made it to the Super Bowl much more because of their offense
yes.
than their
Peyton
defense.
Peyton Manning set the records yeah. that year.
Last year it was the defense, but he really, and his numbers, when you look at him, his numbers blossomed in terms of his sacks the last 2 years. Now, back in 2012, he had 18.5, but I think his numbers.
Is that his rookie year?
It was second year in the league.
Okay. What did he do his rookie year?
11.5.
Okay, and Alden Smith had like 16, 17 then.
Yeah. It's also helped him to have DeMarcus, once they brought DeMarcus Ware on the other
and
side.
And that's the
big
thing. That's the kicker. And I said this to you.
It's like Suggs. What,
did Denver start? Were they rolling undefeated for a while? Were they like 6-0, 5-0, something of that sort?
This year?
Yeah, this year. Okay. When they were rolling, I said, and I just remember this because of, and it was my bias to Wade Phillips. I said, don't be surprised that if they can stay healthy, and this might have been leading up to the Browns-Broncos football game.
They were they started the season 7-0.
Okay, they started 7-0. When they were rolling, and without even looking at the stats, just knowing, I think either DeMarcus or Vaughn had one big football game. I said, don't be surprised that if both can stay healthy all season long and they play for six and they play 16 football games, that one of the two comes very close to breaking Michael Strahan's sack record. When you get two good players in the right scheme, it's like magic happens. And I mean, that's kind of what happened for Denver in general. They had the cover corners. They had the safeties that can fit. You got Roby at nickel. You got Wolf in the middle. You got Malik Jackson in the middle. It was just the perfect storm. But when you get both those guys impacting the football game every time that they're rushing the quarterback, it's a game changer.
It's like the year that Kansas City was the top seed in the AFC with
yes.
Tom Ali and Justin Houston.
13-3.
They didn't make it, obviously, to the AFC championship game, losing that heartbreaker to the Indianapolis Colts, one of the great comebacks in playoff history. Let's go to Joe in Canton now. Joe, welcome to the show.
How's it going, guys? I was interested in the fact that you guys are doing a great job of kind of keeping the fans informed on who might be there for the Browns with their second pick in the second their second-round pick. I saw a young man out of Cincinnati, Chris Moore, who McShay had him ranked in the mid-40s. I went over to Brugler's rankings, and he was like 180. I was wondering if you could shed any light on Chris Moore, receiver from Cincinnati, as possible second-round pick for the Brownies.
I haven't heard him in that second-round discussion at all.
Neither have I.
Talking about Chris Moore. And he's not even a guy that when I went through and did mine popped up on my big kind of scouting list. Here's kind of the background on him. 6'1", 206 pounds out of the University of Cincinnati. 4.5 40 he ran there. Last year, his best season, 40 catches, 870 yards, 7 touchdowns. Averaged about 21.8 yards per catch there. This is the summary by Brugler. 3-year starter, part of a crowded wide receiver depth chart at Cincinnati. Most consistent pass catch of the last few seasons, leading the team in touchdown grabs each year. Only average from a size, strength, speed standpoint. Makes himself available on his routes, especially vertically. Doesn't have a distinguishing trait and needs to hone in on the details of the position. Worthy of day 3 consideration as an immediate number 4 receiver on the roster. A lot of drops on his tape as well. So that's a guy that didn't stand out. If you wanted to take, for me, the guys that I liked kind of later in the draft, I like the other Mike Thomas out of Southern Miss. I thought that he was a guy who really jumped out last year. 1,400 yards, 14 touchdowns would be a
day
3 guy that I think you could take a flyer on. Roger Lewis, who's familiar, I'm sure, to many of you Buckeye fans, a guy who was going to go there, verbally committed to Ohio State, but ended up having some off-the-field issues. Played with Matt Johnson last year, 1,500 yards, 16 touchdowns, 6', 201. 4.45 40. He's a guy that I think could be very, very good. Obviously, I talked about Leonte Carew. I'm a fan of Sharon Peak out of Clemson. 6'2", 209, 4.38 40 at his pro day. Size, speed, that combination can kill. And another name I'll throw out, Rashard Higgins from Colorado State in 2014. Remember who Colorado State's quarterback was? Garrett Grayson that
yes.
year. He had 1,750 yards and 17 touchdowns. So those would be some guys that I would be looking at there as some later wide receiver options. All right, we'll take a break. We're still trying to find Coach Franklin. We'll see what happens there. But if not, we'll keep the phone calls coming. And at 2:30, Giants, Panthers update. Zagura, Wilhelm, Gibbs.
There ain't no secrets anymore. My name's been hanging on the hook.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Jason Gibbs. We'll go back to the phone lines right now. We got Kevin on a cell. Kevin.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon.
Really want to cut to the chase here. We all know why the Rams moved up, right?
The draft a quarterback.
Right. Why can they sign Goff or Wentz now?
I don't know what the rules on that are.
I've heard yes.
I think they can.
I think they can. They can begin contract negotiations. They can agree in principle. Obviously, I don't believe he can put pen to paper, which would mean if the Browns thought Carson Wentz were a franchise quarterback and the Rams were in principle agreeing with Jared Goff, we could then do the same with Carson Wentz, whoever we believe the number two pick is going to be.
Yeah,
and I think the NFL is doing their very best to deter that from happening.
That would be, that would be a good thing if they did that. It would help us out a lot so we can know what the hell we're doing and go from there,
Yes, absolutely.
Well, I hope it happens.
Me too. Let's go. 216-578-0850. Frank, nope. All right, Gibbs. So I got a question from Verhoff 12. He says, I like Sterling Shepard a lot. Why is he a guy that people are talking about second or third round? He doesn't have the elite measurables. He's not a Calvin Johnson where he's 6'4", 6'2", or explosive. He's just a darn good football player who is able to win against top-level competition. Mackenzie Alexander, very good corner out of Clemson, and he's a guy that is able to win without of that.
Yeah.
So – Frank in Atlanta, guys, had to run, but he gave me his question before.
Okay.
He basically said, look, I'm not saying I want Joey Bosa, but he goes, can't you compare Joey Bosa to Suggs from Baltimore? Aren't they the same player? And if so, can't they play in a 3-4 or a 4-3?
Well, we've never seen, I don't believe, Terrell Suggs really play in a true 4-3 other than putting his hand on the ground in nickel situations. But I think the biggest objective for me is, when it comes to Joey Bosa, is he's a tweener for me. And it's not so much from a weight standpoint. I'd like to have my outside linebacker. If he was 255, 260, I'd have him playing outside line. Have him playing outside linebacker from a weight standpoint. But he runs a 4.86. Okay, so he doesn't necessarily have that the Von Miller speed to come around the edge, at least at the elite level. We've never seen him do that in the National Football League. Terrell Suggs has proved his ability to do that.
Terrell Suggs, 6'3", 262. This is his combine. 6'3", 262, 4.740.
Which is a tenth faster than Joey Bosa.
I don't see his bench press reps.
Okay. Bosa went 24 at the combine, 28 at his pro day. J.J. Watt was 34 at the combine.
All right, Suggs. Suggs scared some teams off with his 40-yard dash in the high 4.7. Not a terrible time, slower than expected. Average vertical jump 33 inches, just 19 bench press reps of 225 below the average. He slid a little bit, and the Ravens got him at number 10.
It's one of those things,
He's an
man.
Example of how combine results should be taken with a grain of salt.
Yes. So, and Bosa can play. Bosa
Clearly.
Can play. That's why he is a top 8 player in this draft. Joey Bosa will not drop further than 8. I don't believe.
No. No. Absolutely not, especially now with the Miles Jack knee issues.
Correct.
Yeah, no way.
And even if he gets to 7 in San Francisco and they can't get a quarterback, adding Bosa to that defense, your boy Jimmy O would love to have an asset like that along his defensive line or outside linebacker to the mix, or even Philly at 8 to add another defender, Connor Barwin. So, there's a lot of places he can land.
There are a lot of places. Let's talk about getting back to the quarterbacks now. Joey Bosa is going early. People are concerned, though. I have heard there are concerns about his off-field indulgences with Joey Bosa. That he likes to party hard. That's what some of the scuttlebutt is. Let's go to John in Janesville.
Hey, how you doing today, guys?
Good, man.
Let me put it down to you why we have to take the quarterback. History has shown, unless you take the quarterback at one or two, everyone is wrong. Assessing value to the number two pick and whether these two quarterbacks fit it mean nothing, and let me tell you why. Here is the best thing about quarterbacks that you need to know. Great quarterbacks, the quality that makes them such, can neither be detected nor taught. You don't know. Aaron Rodgers, 23, just go on and on. All the Favre, Brady, Wilson, Hall of Fame quarterbacks that we have passed on. You do not know until they're under NFL fire whether they have the it quality. It can neither be detected nor taught. You can't groom a great quarterback. You can make a good quarterback better in your system. You can make him more familiar, and he can get better. But you end up with Jay Cutler, Phillip Rivers, Andy Dalton. The great ones have something that cannot. That's why you have to take the quarterback in two, even if you're wrong. Thanks.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. Unless you absolutely think the guy's got no chance, get a quarterback in here. I do agree with that, and hopefully the Browns have an opportunity to do with just that. All right, 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. Let's get another phone call here. Let's go to Brad in Westlake. Brad, welcome.
Nathan, Matt, what's up, guys?
How are you, man?
Good. I want to give a shout-out to Jason Gibbs real quick. So I had a run-in with Sweetbriar Golf Club with him last week. He's a good man.
He's a fine man.
Was there a beer in his hand?
There was not. He was prepaying for his league, and he called me the wrong name, and he apologized. But it was a good time.
I totally forgot his name, Brad.
I'm Brad. You called me Kevin, I think.
Kevin is the pro there, and I got him totally mixed up. By the end of the conversation, I walked out. I'm like, sweet, Gibbs, well done. So I called him and apologized to him.
That was a great move. I really appreciate that. That was a touch of class.
Thanks, buddy.
But my question is, I'm not a football guy. I don't see football. I don't watch football the same way you guys do. But my one general question was, when you look at Wentz versus Goff, you know, when you're looking at film and things, is there one thing that stands out to you, like some intangible, that you do a double take and you go, man, this might be our guy, or his game can translate to the next level with success?
Yes.
Is there one thing that stands out to you guys? And that was just my only question.
Yes. So for me, it's when I watch Jared Goff, I watch the quickness with which he processes information in the pocket, can make multiple reads across the field and at different levels, can deliver the ball with accuracy and anticipation, stands tall in the pocket, and is not afraid to take a hit whatsoever. If anybody watched the Gruden quarterback camp, that's really what Gruden was just so fascinated by, how tough he was to sit there and take these hits and deliver the football from the pocket, something you've got to be able to do in the NFL. So for me, that's what it is. The way he moves in the pocket to buy time, moves his feet with his eyes, and is able to get the ball out quickly, under duress, and still throw it accurately and on time. That's what separates his processing in terms of just speed, his ability to decipher information quickly across all levels, read the field, and deliver the football where it needs to be delivered. That's what stands out.
Is that it?
Yeah.
That's all that stands out?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay.
That's it. All right, let's go to John in Dallas. John.
Hey, Ralph. Hey, Jimmy. How you guys doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Hey, great comeback, Gibbs. hey, if we could come out of the first round, I know this is all talk, and we don't know if we're getting Wentz or Goff, but just we're in the hypothetical week here. If we could come out of it with Ezekiel Elliott and Paxton Lynch by somehow trading back just a bit, would you guys be happy with that? Just the first round.
I've said
football players,
irregardless of us needing a franchise quarterback or not,
right,
that to me Ezekiel Elliott's the best player, overall
right,
player in this draft.
Right.
And I think we had, you know, Dane said the same thing earlier. So coming away with Ezekiel Elliott, you have your franchise quarterback. It breaks every single one of Nathan Zagura's round one running back draft rules.
Period.
Period. And I think if you have confidence that RG3 can return to the player that he was, or even a semblance of the player that he was in 2012, taking Paxton Lynch is not all that bad, because he's been stated as tier two developmental and on the rise since his pro day.
He's a darn good quarterback. I mean, I've watched tons of tape on the guy. He's a solid project, and everybody's a project. It comes down to coaching. And that guy before, I respect his comments, but I think there's a lot of really good quarterbacks in the NFL that if they would have went to a bad program, they wouldn't have amounted to nothing. But, again, we got a week to kill, so go Browns.
Go Browns. Eventually, he made a great point. You know, they're all essentially projects. I just, in my head, I picture Hugh Jackson and this guy standing next to each other for the next 3 years. I don't say holding hands, but, you know, processing information together, you know, having conversations in front of a whiteboard, watching film, spending extra time on the field, all those, whether it's Connor Cook, Cardale Jones, Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, Paxton Lynch, whoever that is, the odds, I believe, are turning in the Browns' favor because of Hugh Jackson, the head football coach,
yes,
and the offensive coach for whoever it is we draft. Their evaluations of those players determine the upside, the ceiling, the fall, how good can they really be, and so on and so forth. And that's not my job.
No, certainly not. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to find out what happened in the clash of the Titans, the Giants, and the Panthers. Boo, Panthers. Right after this, the girl Wilhelm Gibbs, CBD.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Jason Gibbs. All right, Wilhelm, everybody's been waiting with bated breath. Saturday on the gridiron, it was the Giants, the Panthers, the irresistible force meets the immovable object. Who came out victorious?
Well, props to the Giants, and I'll give props to the Panthers as well. They're a very well coached team, a very physical team, and it was an intense matchup. I mean, parents were on edge, I was on edge, and ultimately, there were opportunities for us to win the football game, but it ended in a tie, 12-12.
What?
How is this possible? It would be like going to the main event of WrestleMania and not having a winner. It doesn't happen. It shouldn't happen. It's wrong.
So Panthers got out early. First, we always go deep. I don't know whether it's by happenstance or by choice, but we select our captains. Our captains go up. We go defense first. We've gone defense first in every game. Dr. Kurt has gotten a stop in every football game except against the Panthers. They went down the field, scored first. We're down 6-0. It's like, whoa, okay? But we come back, we score, we don't get the extra point, so it's 6-6. The game's played, opportunities happen, we throw a bomb, we go up 12-6. They come down, we've got them fourth and goal on the one. And we gave the quarterback a little too much time. He scrambles around and found one of their guys open the end zone, 12-12. But we get the stop. So they could have gone up 13-12.
On the extra point.
On the extra point, we get the stop. Long story short, you know, my brother and I, Dr. Kurt, I run the offense, he runs the defense. It was an intense matchup, and we felt that there was a bit of shenanigans happening.
And you were concerned about that headed into the game.
We were concerned a little bit about it, some of the shenanigans, and it was, you know, I'm on the field with the offense solo, so me and seven kids, I come off the field, Kurt goes on the field, and the team that we were playing had three coaches on the football field. And we didn't take a liking to that, so a conversation started, and for the sake of the children, Dr. Kurt and a coach from the other team were both asked not to leave the building, but were asked to leave the field. Okay? And Dr. Kurt reached out to me knowing that this was going to be discussed on the radio. He's a businessman, very much so like the kid. But he did release a statement, and Nathan, I'll allow you the opportunity to give Dr. Kurt, defensive coordinator of the Giants, statement of the game.
The Giants entered the game with two coaches. They left with one after Dr. Kurt was excused midway through. Here's the official statement of Dr. Kurt. In the world, there are sheep. They can't always protect themselves. The wolf tries to take advantage of the sheep and use violence against it. Then there's the sheepdog blessed with aggression and the duty of protecting the sheep. I had to be a sheepdog on Saturday. End quote, Dr. Kurt.
And in a nutshell, and ironically, he texted me that prior to the football game. That is a quote from a great movie, American Sniper.
Fine film.
Fine film. When the father at the dinner table with the two sons and his wife have a conversation about the older brother protecting the younger brother because the younger brother was being targeted by some bullies at the schoolyard, and the older brother had to become a sheepdog and protect his young little sheep from the wolves. So, all in all, it's 12-12. We are both 3-0-1, and I think what it boils down to reach the championship game 2 weeks, or not this coming Saturday, but the following Saturday, is margin of victory. So there's still work to be done.
Work to be done.
And
sorry.
And more so than anything, fun to be had.
Garbage.
You've got to run. You're going to run up the score.
We're going to play our best.
Got to run up the score.
Kids,
sorry.
Are
who are the opponents?
I can't believe Dr.
Eagles.
Kurt.
Sorry, Eagles.
Was asked to.
Dr. Kurt got run. He got ran right out of there, Dr. Kurt.
And
who does that to a good doctor?
I really wish Kurt would call in, but he's not going to. And all it simply was Kurt essentially saying, anything that you say from this point further is going to be uneducated and not have anything to do with this football game, so just stop right now. And he didn't take a and the other coach didn't take a liking to Kurt's position, and the commish just said, both of you leave for the sake of the argument right now.
So you just got a tweet from one of your big fans, Adam Schwartz, says, I pity the Eagles. Could get
Someone's
ugly.
Got to pay for that.
It could be a massacre.
Massacre. Kids are going to have fun. Here's on the back of my play. I got a playbook. You've seen it. I draw up plays consistently because it's a lot, always on my mind. But the one thing that I have on the back of my playbook, and that's what we're going to get back to, because we earn the right to compete against in the championship game or whoever we play, we're going to have – it's A, number one, have fun. And I preach it to it before the games, before practice, after the games. They read it back to me. It's fun, compete, and if we do those two things, good things are going to happen. Most likely we're going
to
win.
If Dr. Kurt gets tossed from the championship game, does he get to go to the Dave and Buster's party?
Is the Dave and Buster's party still happening now that there's a tie?
It all depends.
They have not been defeated.
Is a tie a loss?
No.
Dr. Kurt might have to bankroll the Dave and Buster's by penalty if he
is there
in
a
fact
fine?
Removed.
Is there something in his contract that if he gets ejected? Because you then
be
had to manage
write.
Everything.
Yeah, and honestly, I was a little – I'm not going to lie. I was a little frantic. So I missed Dr. Kurt because, you know, running offense, it allows me to step away from the field when the defense goes on, you know, takes the field. I know they're in good hands. There's a very low likelihood that a team's going to score. It allows me to decompress, start to, you know, okay, what kids haven't touched the ball? Who do I need to get? When I had to go defense, it was, you wear the wristband. You're going to line here. And then I had to get kids in the game. I had a parent come over and help me. I just was like, woo. So I just go back to just a couple miss, as always in every football game, a couple missed opportunities.
That's right. It's a game of inches.
It is.
It's a game of inches.
We had the ball 4th and 1 to get a first down, which is like the 50-yard line of this short field, and we were blown dead short of the line.
I think replay would have shown it was a first down.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Believe me so. But all in all,
I heard somebody say that they believe that ref was in the Panthers' pocket for a $100 handshake.
That may be true. I don't know that to be true. But here's what's cool about it is some of my kids, this is how innocent and how what a great group of kids that I have is that 3 to 5 of our kids come up to me after the game and go, did we win? Which means that they're really so into playing the game that they don't even realize
they're
the score.
They're not even scoreboard watching.
They're not even scoreboard watching. There is no scoreboard.
I'll scoreboard watch with the best of them.
Yes, right.
Beachman 300 wants some inspirational words for you to tell your kids. My old coach said a tie is only a loss when you have an ugly sister.
And if you were in Vegas sitting at a table with money on the line, push is a win.
Push is a win. That's right. Push is a win. Steve Ford thinks the reason that you didn't get tossed and Dr. Kurt did is because of your faux hawk. They thought you might be a player and not a coach.
This is true.
just your one big eight.
Do they know? Do they know that you guys both played at Ohio State and whatnot?
Me for sure, and they definitely know that he's my brother. Whether he played or not, I don't know. But the one thing I do know that they're very well aware of is that I talk on the radio 10 hours a week, and I make reference to that league and the Giants, which can go very, very good or very, very bad. Nathan, what happens if you went to a steakhouse and didn't have good service and a bad steak? I'd be sad.
Oh, God.
Would you say something about it?
Really? You wouldn't?
If my steak wasn't cooked the way that – if my steak was overcooked –
if your service
absolutely.
Was bad and the steak was overcooked.
Yeah, I'd say
you'd go, I went here and it wasn't – you know what?
Yeah, it wasn't great.
Wasn't great.
Yeah.
Right?
Disappointing.
But if you go to Barrio
– ho-ho, I'll talk about Barrio,
there
baby.
We go. I went to Barrio on Saturday Woo! After the game to decompress with some margaritas.
You better believe it. A little jalapeno margarita. I'm planning on going to Barrio on Thursday,
chicken
by
and
the way.
Waffle, taco of the month.
Ooh. I don't know. That might be outside of my frame
but
of
I was
reference.
Exposed to the stoner.
Oh.
And what's the other one?
The green goddess.
The green goddess.
See, I can only go one of those because I know when I'm eating that I've, like, gone off the reservation. Like, I go to Barrio and I get the bowls. I feel good about it. It's healthy. It's great. But then I go and I dip into the stoner. And you dip in the stoner and what you're getting there. What you got there. I'd like to see John Gruden break down the stoner. What you got there is a hard shell taco. And they just wrap it with cheese and chorizo sausage and throw a soft shell around it. And it is.
And stuff it with whatever you want.
Whatever you want. You want the meat. You want the pork. You want the beef. Whatever.
So, again, text my guy Jake on short notice, the general manager at the downtown store. Hit up his guy Ryan and Bart over in Lakewood. Hooked it up with, like, a two-minute wait. Like, our margaritas were not even served at the bar, and our table was ready. So, props to Barrio. And as I've told them.
Yes.
You and I, because we both adore what Barrio does for us and the way in which they take care of us. We're going to hook up the GMs at both spots with some tickets to a Browns game.
Absolutely.
It's the least we can do. The Bart brought it up to me, one of their managers. He's like, dude, how about some tickets? And I'm like, done.
Sure.
He's like, are you serious?
Yeah, bro.
And I go, yeah, bring Jake and Ryan. Continue to hook it up. It's a done deal. Done.
Give me tacos. Barrio. Such a fine place.
It is.
I need one on the east side, though. I need a Barrio
on coming.
The east side. I've heard. Where?
I asked. Cleveland
Where?
Heights.
Where? Legacy?
I don't know.
Cleveland Heights?
I just asked.
No,
what they said.
The real east side. Let's get out there where that Paco's Tacos is. Paco's Tacos
you guys
is
might
no
need
Barrio.
Like, you know, they don't have – they use plasticware there, bro, and they eat out of, like, you know, cardboard. I don't know if that fits the east side.
Oh, those bowls are fantastic. It reminds me of the bowl, the no. mortar that they
They're
use
like
for east
side
the homemade
people
guacamole.
Like wiping their hands off of a paper towel roll. That just blows my mind.
Cowboys on the east side, paper towel roll is their thing.
I've never
Delicious
been over
barbecue.
There. I've never been.
Well, you've been invited. Why don't you come over? Come to the east side whenever you want.
It's far.
Open invitation.
I require an overnight stay.
I have a guest room. It's the Vince Condi Memorial. It's the Vince Condi Uncncle Soon room. That's what my kids
Does
call
it have,
Uncncle Soon
is
room.
There signage for that?
I should put a sign. You know what would be what I really should do? So one of the things I love about Vince is that, like, he really loves his glory days from high school and middle school. So he has, like, his, like, middle school jersey framed and his high school jersey framed, and he's got all this, like, stuff. I should put up one of his jerseys in that room. That would be a great moment. Like, you did it, but you then went on to the NFL and, like,
yeah.
greatness. So, like,
and
it's more
and
like
the only
the,
the only reason
the story, the lineage.
The only jerseys that are framed – that are mine are championship jerseys.
Yeah, there is no EC yeah. jersey, is there?
No, didn't win a championship at EC.
No.
There are. It is on display.
Yes.
As a chair backer, but it is not on a wall.
Interesting.
I have to put a St. Jude's eighth grade. We won the championship.
I do. You have that up, don't you?
No, not yet. I need to get it.
What was the white jersey with, like, the light blue lettering?
Oh, the light blue with the white lettering?
Yeah,
that's St. Peter's Lorraine, fifth grade
gotcha.
Championship.
My bad.
St. Peter's Lorraine.
I knew I'd seen some on another jersey.
Yes, championship.
G.I. George loves Be the Sheepdog. Thanks, Dr. Kurt. Hashtag bow wow. All right, we're going to take our final break, wrap it up here on a raucous Monday. Gibbs, Coach Franklin, just give us the heave-ho. Have I already said enough nice things about Jared Goff? He doesn't need to come on the show?
I just talked to their SID. He goes, I don't know what happened. We're trying to find him. He's not answering his phone or anything. So it looks like we're trying for tomorrow right now. We're not sure what happened. Coach, whether he got a Central versus Eastern time zones mixed up, because they're on Central, we're not quite sure what happened. But they are aware of it, and Coach will be on at some point with us this week.
Well, the show flew by, so it's all good. We'll get
it's
him
never
tomorrow.
Good. It's always anxious moments. Not
mañana.
A big fan of things.
It's what they say at Barrio, mañana. Yeah, Thursday night I'm going to be there. We should all just meet down there. I got to do a thing with Big Play Gear for FanDuel at the stadium, and then I'm going out and Barrio in it Thursday night. Let's go. Oh, my. The pictures are pouring in of Johnny and Josh Gordon from Coachella. About what you'd expect. We'll take a break to ponder that. My name, calling all night. I can pull the wool
while I'm being polite. Like, darling, calling all night. You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Well, I want to recommend that you show your kids the scene from White Men Can't Jump where Rosie Perez says, sometimes when you lose, you really win. And sometimes when you win, you really lose. And sometimes when you win or lose, you really tie. I think they think that was deep.
Garbage.
It's too much. You're dealing with second graders.
I'm pretty sure that scene gets real good right after she says that, too, if I'm not mistaken.
It does.
From my White Men Can't Jump recollections.
It does.
Yeah.
In a good way.
Greasy, Gibbs.
Greasy, as Mo Pedman likes to say.
Mo Pedman. My Mo Pedman. Do-do-do-do-do. Mo Pedman, by the way.
Will he be in town for draft weekend?
Yes.
Yeah. Mo Pedman's cousin.
Where are you going with this one?
Caused a ruckus in this office the other day, cutting a promo as the American Dream Dusty Rhodes. About the draft. It was really one of the greatest things that ever happened, but he was so loud, but he had the greatest line ever. He's cutting this promo like Dusty Rhodes, like, I'm telling you right now. Hold on, I got to get by. That wasn't good. Let me tell you something, Tully Blanchard. I have a dream, Big Daddy, and that is for Jared Goff to come to Cleveland. It's not an American dream. It's a Cleveland dream, Big Daddy. And he did this whole Dusty Rhodes promo. It was absolutely amazing. If we could get him to dress up like Dusty Rhodes really for a day, it would be what a treat. And not polka dot era Dusty Rhodes either. I'm not a fan of polka dot era Dusty Rhodes.
That was my favorite era.
What?
Polka dot era.
That was terrible. That's when they were making fun of it. It was awful.
It's almost like WWE right now.
Yeah. By the way, Jared Goff set to meet with the Rams later.
Oh, I thought you were
going to
give me some wrestling news. It's like the Miz to Intercontinental champion, whatever it is.
Yeah, he is an Intercontinental champion. Yes, he is.
Still?
Champion of all the continents, Matt Wilhelm. You couldn't be on a piece of land in this world
then
without having the Miz
preside.
Because that's like counts the oceans,
all right,
too. All right, that's it. World champion covers the oceans. If you're on a cruise ship, that's your champion. The Miz is if you're on land. All right, that'll wrap it up for us. Hopefully, Tony Franklin tomorrow. Big thanks to Dane Brugler. Buy his draft guide. Educate yourself. At DP Brugler on Twitter. For Gibbs, Matt Wilhelm, I'm Nathan Zgura saying ties are for the week. Thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily.
On ESPN 850 WKNR.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.